I'm George Patra for Chipewyan, of the Miccosukee Cree First Nation, of which I'm also a former chief of my First Nation.
And why have you come to Montreal?
I think I've known Drew for a few years now, working with a network or a coalition of concerned organizations about tar sands, environmental impacts, climate change, global warming. And through some of my connections with Drew, he's heard of some of the work that I've done in relation to showcasing to the world some of the impacts that we who live downstream from the tar sands are observing or have experienced over a number of years. And so I think he felt it was important that Montrealers also hear firsthand from people who are directly impacted from tar sands. And so that's why I'm here.
Describe your community.
Fort Chipewyan is 1,200 people. It's made up of Cree, of Dene, of Métis, and non-Aboriginal people. We're situated on the north shore of Lake Athabasca, downstream from the tar sands on the Athabasca River, which drains into Lake Athabasca. We're also on the what's called the Peace Athabasca Delta. This is where the Athabasca River and the Peace River converge onto Lake Athabasca. It's one of the largest freshwater deltas in North America. We're also on the boundary of what's called Wood Buffalo National Park. It's Canada's largest national park.
And so what impact has the tar sands had on your community and on your life?
Since about 40 years ago, when the tar sands first began to operate in the region where we live, which we call our traditional homelands, there has been what our people, our hunters, our trappers, our fishermen, or anybody who uses the land have observed a number of different impacts on our water, especially, which has been the most visible. Water quality, water quantity, impacts to the fish, impacts to the animals, water tasting different. So we've observed a lot of those, but much more so concentrated in the last 10, 15 years. And so those are some of the impacts that we've observed over the, especially again, the last 15 years.
Have there been health incidents that have been correlated to those changes, do you think?
Not necessarily directly correlated to the tar sands projects or other industrial development in the region. But yes, there are people have been observing in the last 4, 5, 6 years. Our doctor has been concerned about many of the cancers that he was observing in our community, cancers which are very considered rare and aggressive, and statistically are linked to petroleum products, being caused by petroleum products. Very rare that, you know, these types of cancers called cholangiocarcinoma or biliary duct cancers or soft tissue cancers. You should find one case in a population of 100,000 people, and we've been observing 4 or 5 cases of these very rare and aggressive cancers. And they've been recently proven by the Alberta Cancer Board, who we forced to do a cancer study, confirm that there are at least 30% elevated levels of these cancers in their community.
Clearly there's a awareness like in the community and concern in the community. What kind of reactions or response, support, lack of support do you see amongst people who are working directly on the tar sands with the tar sands? And then across Alberta, particularly in the big cities, Edmonton and Calgary?
Because I work so closely with a whole network of whether they're environmental NGOs or just concerned organizations, It's easy for me to see the amount of people who are like actually becoming involved, becoming aware of the tar sands. So I mean that way, and I know there's like speaking to a multitude of press over the last 4 or 5 years, being collaborating with filmmakers who are telling or chronicling our story and showcasing it to the rest of the world. There has been a lot of growing awareness and growing resistance and opposition to the tar sands because people are becoming more aware. Because I'm so involved in that, it's difficult for me to see, not to see the people who are not becoming informed of the issue. So whether it's in the UK where there's like a growing movement in terms of resisting tar sands, or whether it's in the States, the people who are knowledgeable about expansion of tar sands through proposed pipelines like the Keystone XL pipeline, or in the Northwest where they're bringing equipment from Korea, shipping it through to some of their ports and then transporting it in some of their very sensitive roads and ecosystems. So I mean there's growing populations all over where tar sands are impacting people daily.
And how does the Albertan government respond to the tar sands, and has that approach or response changed over the past 5 years as more awareness, growing consciousness about it has come about?
Yeah, the Alberta government has slowly being forced to be more responsible, more accountable in the way they manage the tar sands, and it's not because they're being, you know, it's their free will. It's not because of that. It's because I think a lot of pressure has been applied on the Alberta government because they're doing such a bad job at managing the tar sands and have been for the last 40 years, including more recently, they've been made more accountable to establish a more responsible, more comprehensive monitoring program of the tar sands. And it's because of work by Dr. David Schindler, by environmental organizations who are telling the truth about the tar sands and its very bad impacts on the environment, on the water, and so on. But also because of some efforts from my community, fishermen who are exposing, you know, showcasing to the world again some of the problem fish that we recently had a press conference in Edmonton and showing some of those fish with blisters and tumors and deformities and mutations, you know, which we all suspect, like the health issues we suspect are linked to the tar sands.
Then how do you compare the Albertan government's evolving response to Harper government, the federal government?
Up until, I think, just a couple of months ago, I mean, they were one and the same in terms of really relinquishing their responsibility and managing and regulating the industry. Alberta has a very high senior representative in Washington, D.C., who many people would consider like an ambassador from Alberta. Mm-hmm. And their sole responsibility there is to promote investment in the tar sands, to lobby all the congressional members, senators, anybody who is influential in ensuring or making the tar sands a possibility for the Americans. The Alberta government does the same thing. I mean, I've met with the Canadian ambassador in Washington, D.C. twice now, and I know with certainty that their role is to promote investment in the tar sands as well. And they do it internationally with other bodies like the like the UN climate talks. I mean, we know that in Copenhagen, Alberta, or and Canada, we're both very instrumental in encouraging other countries not to adopt anything that might potentially impact the ability of tar sands in Alberta or Canada to be exported anywhere. And so, therefore, you know, thwarting any possibility of any adequate climate agreement. I mean, they've done the same thing in Cancun recently. And people know that Canada and Alberta are both very responsible internationally for you know, not having an adequate climate agreement for the globe, you know, and so that's a problem. I mean, Alberta, I mean, Canada has not been very forthcoming in terms of being a very responsible government, not only within Canada as far as an energy agreement or a climate agreement, but internationally as well again.
Bringing it back to the local and looking at your community who is facing some terrifying things, you know, environmentally, health-wise, mm-hmm. But is also receiving, as you said, a lot of support, and growing opposition to tar sands. What's the sentiment on the ground in your community? How are people, optimistic? Are people feeling the heaviness? Yeah. What's the sense you get?
Well, I think because there's been so many incidences where the Alberta government and Canada have really dismissed any claims coming out of Fort Chippewa, people do feel a sense of pessimism. They feel very let down, especially when our doctor made the claims of unusual cancers in our community and neither government came to our assistance. So a lot of people were feeling very let down. But I think the more we made small incremental progress, including with the recent monitoring situation, I think people are seeing that we can, as a community who's contributing to a larger campaign against tar sands, people are feeling a little bit more optimistic that way as well. So, while there's a lot of pessimism, there's still some hope in terms of, you know, this industry being better managed and hopefully managed in a sustainable way in the long term.
So as it stands right now, what are the main, you know, practical things that you're calling for, the small steps and the longer vision?
Well, I think formally, our community has been calling for a moratorium on any further approvals of any new applications or approvals of expansion of existing projects until it's known what the environmental situation is like, the impacts to the water quality, as an example, impacts on people's health. Thresholds, whether it's tailings ponds, reclamation. I mean, there's so many issues as far as tar sands are concerned. And a lot of the science is been left behind by the fast pace of the development. Mm-hmm. So until much of the science and the thresholds are understood, I think it makes, I mean, it's very logical and rational that until we understand with certainty what the status of the environment and people's health is, then it makes absolute sense to put a moratorium. So that's our biggest ask for today. But at the same time that Alberta and Canada, both who are responsible in regulating this industry, should strengthen the regulations, the legislation around management of the tar sands, because it's very weak when you look at it and you compare it to other countries.
What do you think the best way is for people here and around the world that aren't directly affected would be to support those who are?
Well, I think what's happening tonight is a very good example of how people can assist. And essentially, it's generating awareness. It's making others aware. I mean, you're going to become more informed tonight, you know, continue to spread the awareness about what's going on. Because I don't think people often know about the directly impacted communities' issues until you invite somebody like myself to come here. And I find that that's very similar no matter where around the world that I've traveled. People don't often hear. You hear generally the impacts on tar sands, but tonight when I give my account of what it's been like for me personally and my community personally, over the last 4 or 5 years, I mean, it'll be pretty astounding, you know, some of the scandals and some of the issues that we've had we've been faced with in terms of our own governments, who we expect to protect us, have actually worked against us. So I think just being informed, being aware, and helping to generate that awareness further around your own circles.